word of God says in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." Welcome to the Blessed Assurance Podcast with Pastor Enrico White, Senior Pastor of Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. In this podcast, you'll receive the word of God with anointed clarity and revelation straight from the throne of grace. Now, let's join Pastor White with the word of God already in progress.
Mighty sword, our prayers attend. Come and thy people bless. Come, O God, bring thy word success. Spirit of holiness, descend on us is our prayer. God, this is your word. We, God, are your people, bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the redeemed of the Lord shout, amen. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. A few verses, beginning at verse 48. "And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried out the more a great deal, Thy son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, arise, he calleth thee." From that portion of God's word, I want to use as a thought this morning, a turning point. Look at somebody this morning. Don't scare them. Give them a smile and tell them it's your turning point. This morning, I've come to share that everyone has had to face some type of an obstacle. Each one of us has had some type of a disadvantage, or each one of us has had some type of hindrance that has stood in our way. Everyone has had to deal with some type of a crisis, some problem, some situation or a condition that is beyond our control. I don't know your obstacles, neither do I know your disadvantages. I don't know your hindrances, and neither do I know your crises. But I've come to tell anyone that will hear me that your crisis can be the launching pad to your turning point. It's a sad reality. It's a sad reality. The sad reality is that many of us never think about God until there's a situation that exists that is beyond our control. It is also a fact that God does not always remove the handicap. He doesn't always remove it. Can I prove it? Paul said, "There was given unto me a messenger of Satan, a thorn in my flesh, that I may not be exalted above the vision, the revelation." But Paul said, "I prayed to God three times that this thorn be removed." God never removed it. He just simply said, "My grace is sufficient." God does not always remove the handicap, but he does, however, give us the ability to overcome them. He gives us the ability to turn it around, to fully appreciate this text. We must understand the context in which it sets. I've learned that you've got to understand the past in order to appreciate the present. Let me say that one again. You've got to understand the past in order to appreciate the present. I'm trying to help some young person in here that thought life did not start until you got here. You've got to understand the past in order to appreciate the present. First of all, this episode takes place during the last days of the earthly ministry of Jesus. Jesus here, we find, has been teaching on divorce and marriage. He blesses little children and tells us that our faith must be like them. He counsels a young rich ruler and tells him that in order to inherit eternal life, he must sell all of his possessions and follow him. He teaches that with God, all things are possible. He predicts for the third time his death and his resurrection. He teaches us that there is greatness in serving. And now we find him journeying from Galilee on his way to Jerusalem. And as he's on his way to Jerusalem, he stops in Jericho. Now you got to take a look and pay attention to geography right here, because if you were looking on the map at Galilee and the point from Galilee to Jerusalem, you would find that it is really not necessary to get from Galilee to Jerusalem by way of Jericho. So in other words, Jesus went out of his way to get to where he ultimately was going because there was something that was needed to do there in Jericho. That's enough reason right there for somebody to shout, because while God was on his way from where he was to where he was going, he found it necessary to go out of his way to come see about somebody like you. Somebody ought to tell the Lord thank you right there, that every now and then, aren't you glad he'll go out of his way to make a way in your life? He went out of his way. He went by way of Jericho. Jericho. Jericho is the place when he encounters Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Zacchaeus, the tax collector who was despised by people. He was a tax collector. He was a man of short stature. He wasn't appreciated by folk. And he had heard that Jesus was coming by. And as he had heard, wasn't around the people. They didn't like him. Could not see. He was of short stature. The Bible says that Zacchaeus climbed up a sycamore tree that he can get a better view of Jesus. Oh, but you know what I discovered? Not only in climbing up did he get a better view of Jesus, but it gave Jesus a better view of him. I gotta let somebody know this morning that in order to get a better view of Jesus, you got to elevate yourself. Oh, but what I also discovered is that when you elevate yourself, you'll give God a better view of you. You got to elevate your mind. You got to elevate your thinking. Are y'all with me in here this morning? He then looked at Zacchaeus and says, come down. Make haste, because today I'm coming to your house. The text informs us that as he was leaving Jericho, he met a man named Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus, somebody shout Bartimaeus. Now I share with you that you got to understand the past in order to appreciate the present. But I've also learned that when you trace etymology or the history of the word, especially when dealing with scripture, it gives you a better picture of the whole account. The etymology of the word Jericho means curse. It became known as the accursed place because when Joshua had captured Jericho in Joshua 6 and 26, Joshua cursed it. The text says that Jesus therefore went to Jericho. He went to a cursed place. He went to a cursed place. But listen, Jesus had a habit of going to places that other people would avoid. Somebody ought to tell the Lord thank you right there. I'm glad about it, because there's somebody in here, you sitting in church right now, but when Jesus found you, you know you wasn't in church. But he had a habit of going to places that other people. Jesus went to an accursed place. And as he was leaving, he met a man that lived there. Don't miss it. as he was leaving, he met a man that lived there. Now, it's one thing to pass through a cursed place. It's one thing to spend a night in a cursed place. But it's a whole nother thing to live in a cursed place. And as Jesus was leaving the cursed place, he found a man who was living in a cursed place. He was leaving, but the man was living. The man that lived in this accursed place was a man named Bartimaeus. Now, if you continue your word study, you'll find that Bar, B-A-R, is a Greek prefix that means the son of. So he was the son of Timaeus. Therefore, we conclude that Bartimaeus is not really his name. It simply identifies him with his family. Timaeus is his father's name. And the word Timaeus means polluted, nasty, dirty, corrupt, filthy. So Bartimaeus means the son of a nasty man, the son of a filthy man, the son of a corrupt man, the son of a messed up man. Bartimaeus lived in an accursed place. Lived in a place that was cursed, and his people were nasty. He was blind. Somebody gonna catch up with me in just a minute. His home was cursed. His people were jacked up. Can I say that here? He was blind. From a cursed place. Family messed up. He's blind. Yes, sir. And to top it off and add insult to injury, he was a beggar. He was dependent on and lived on the generosity of others. And I'm sure someone in here this morning can identify with a Bartimaeus by saying, yeah, I've had some challenges. I've had some problems. I've experienced some trials. I've experienced some bad days. But the real tragedy here is that we also have the proclivity or the tendency to major in our handicaps. There's some folk who love to major in their problems. They love to major in their difficulties. But today I want to serve you notice that you can overcome your obstacles. You can defeat your difficulties. You can master your misfortune. And today I believe that today is your turning point. Is there anybody in the house this morning that would declare today is my turning point? In order for today to be your turning point, let me with exegetical integrity as I excavate this text, pull out of it that which will bless your life. Are you with me in here? In order to reach your turning point, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to concentrate on the personal positive options. Amen. Your turning point. You got to concentrate on personal positive options. The reason we can't overcome our handicaps are because we're too busy focusing on our deficiencies. And because we're so busy focusing on our deficiencies, we ignore our assets. Oh, yeah, are y'all with me in here? We so busy focusing on what we ain't got that we pay no attention to what we do have. Bible says that Bartimaeus was a beggar. He was blind. But verse 47 in Mark chapter 10 says, and when he heard that it was Jesus, look at somebody and tell him he heard. Check it out, check it out, check it out. He was blind. He wasn't deaf. Most of us would spend all our time complaining about the fact that we're blind, that we ignore the fact that we still can hear. And when he heard, so many people want to have a pity party. They want to moan and groan about what they don't have. But I come to tell somebody in the willow, you better thank God for what you do have. Yeah, concentrate on your assets. Truth of the matter is, it is a scientific fact that when nature takes away one sense, the others will become stronger to maintain a balance. He was blind, but his hearing was quickened and heightened. In other words, whatever is messed up in your life, look around, because God will compensate for the mess up in your life by balancing you out in other areas of your life. Do I have a witness in the house? Check it out, check it out, check it out, check it out. Not only did he hear, but he heard who it was. It was impossible for him to see who it was because he was blind. But not only did he have the ability to hear, but he also had social skills. He was highly socialized. He knew how to wheel and deal. He knew how to negotiate. He knew how to be a risk taker. He knew how to step out on faith. He knew how to get people to do things for him. He knew something about what was happening because he heard noises. So he had to ask somebody, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? One of our biggest problems today is that we aren't risk takers. We don't negotiate. We don't step out. That's the reason we stay defeated. Can I get a witness up in here? Because we lay down too quickly. Look at somebody and tell him, you got to get up. Yeah, we lay down too quickly. Listen. If you can't see, tell somebody, hold my hand and lead me. But you got to get up. Don't lay down. Get up. Somebody shout, get up. Most folk would rather lay down than try. But you got to get up. Stop making excuses. Stop blaming others. Just get up. Concentrate on your personal positive options. Not only could he hear, not only was he highly socialized, but he also could speak. After he found out what was going on, the text says that he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I can't see you, but I know you're around. Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. My family is jacked up. But Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me. I'm a beggar. But Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy. The statement is used here in the imperfect tense, which denotes continuous action in the past. That's why he kept saying over and over, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Remember now, he was blind. And the only thing he could do to get the attention of Jesus, are y'all hearing me up in here? The only thing he could do to get Jesus' attention was to keep saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. He has to make enough noise that no matter where he is, Jesus can find him. Check it out. If he can't find Jesus, my God, I got to make it so that Jesus can find me. What I'm trying to say is, I'm trying to say is that whenever you want something from the Lord, you got to learn how to use what you got. Do I have somebody in here? You got to learn how to be persistent. Yeah, if you want to attract the attention of heaven, you've got to have the inclination to admit and to profess your shortcomings. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Y'all ain't saying nothing in mid here. But God, listen. If you can't see him, you got to do something that he can find you. Somebody in here ought to make some noise right now. That if you can't see him in your trial, if you can't see him in your storm, you can't see him in your problem, you ought to cry out with a loud voice that he can find you wherever you are. Jesus, thy Son of David, have mercy on me. Not only must you concentrate on personal options, personal positive options, but secondly, for it to be your turning point, you've got to conquer public opinion. Listen. If you want to get something from God, you got to learn how to overcome folk. You got to learn how to turn a deaf ear. You got to learn how to put on blinders when it comes to public opinion. I need to tell somebody in here, if you don't learn how to overcome folk, you will never get to your destination. Don't you get stuck at the bar of public opinion. If Bartimaeus had listened to public opinion, he'd still be blind. You got to learn how to conquer public opinion. Do I have a witness in the house? Because notice what the text says right here. Many, as he was crying out, had warned him to be quiet. This suggests that some of the people that told him to hush had to have been disciples, that they felt they had the authority to warn somebody to hush. He was making a lot of noise. He was crying out to the Lord, and they were telling him to shut up. Because listen, whenever you're trying to move forward in the things of God, there are always folk who are telling you to hush. Whenever you're trying to move forward in the things of God, there's always somebody that tells you it don't take all that. It don't take all that praise. It don't take all that shout. It don't take all that noise. It don't take, am I talking to anybody? Have you heard that before? Listen, why is it that the whole church can end up bound and losing their anointing because two or three people don't like all the noise that we make in order to get the attention of a God that we can't see? But when we can't see him, we need him to find us. Yeah. David. David had to conquer public opinion when his authority came into question. Remember how his son Absalom decided he was going to take over? All Jerusalem seemed to turn their back on the king, but he kept his hand in the master's hand. He did not get wrapped up in public opinion, but he held on to God's unchanging hand. No one knew something about conquering public opinion. Everybody thought he was a fool, but he heeded to the commandment of the Lord. Proverbs 24:16 says, the righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked man shall fall once and lay down. Yeah, folks may tell you to shut up, but because you are righteous, you just keep on getting up, crying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You got to do what you've got to do in order to get through. When folks tell you to shut up, you got to press forward, because you got to get something from God. And in order to get it, you got to go for it. That'll preach all by itself. In order to get it, you got to go for it. Don't scare your neighbor, but tell him, in order to get it, you got to go for it. Is there anybody in the house that's ready to go for it? The only way Bartimaeus could get the attention of Jesus was by crying out. Sometimes the only way to get to the Lord is by persistently crying. You got to do what you got to do in order to get through. The other folks could see.
We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired by the Blessed Assurance Podcast with Pastor Enrico White, Senior Pastor of Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. If you are new to the area and or seeking a church home, please feel free to worship with us at Weeping Willow AME Zion Church, located at 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. Our order of services are as follows. Sunday morning worship with the preached word at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study, 12 noon and 6:30 p.m. and every first Sunday Holy Communion. For more information about Weeping Willow, please go online to www.weepingwillowamez.org or call 704-532-9125 or via email at wwillowchurch@aol.com. Finally, if this podcast has encouraged and inspired you, please come visit us at 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina. The Word of God says in the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
This is Enrico White, pastor of the Weeping Willow AME Zion Church. I'm personally inviting you to join us for the experience. Experience the word. Experience the worship. Experience the witness at Weeping Willow AME Zion Church right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. We have two wonderful worship experiences, 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Come be revived. Come be renewed as lives are being touched, hearts are being transformed. Weeping Willow is located 2220 Milton Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, or look for us on the web, weepingwillowamez.org. We'll see you real soon.